So this is Andrew Wood with Jason Hayes, pastor of Shoreline. I'm Andrew, executive director of Hope Resource Center. And Jason, this is the first show.
The inaugural show.
The first one.
It's a big deal.
It is. And so this is Between Sundays with Jason Hayes and Andrew Wood. And we're excited about what that means. And so if you're listening live at Joy 620, or if you're listening on the podcast, however you are finding this show, we are just grateful that you're tuning in. What we're going to do from now to eternity, I think we're
we've signed a 7,500-year contract.
Yeah. Not LeBron numbers, but close to those numbers. So we are. Our goal is simple. We just want to talk about the Christian life between Sundays, and we say that for a number of reasons. But you go to church on Sunday, and so what does that look like for the Christian? So Jason, walk us through a little bit about the goal behind this show and our mission kind of each Wednesday afternoon as we come on Joy 620 and talk for about an hour about cultural issues. What is the goal for the Christian between Sundays?
Sure. Our congregation, Shoreline, are incredibly busy folks. And as I'm sure many of you who are listeners are busy folks. And we recognize that the time that we have with them is somewhat limited. We value, obviously, our Sunday morning gatherings. We value the special opportunities that we have, whether it's in life groups or other things that are happening throughout the week. But the point is, we've got to teach people how to live out their faith beyond the gatherings of our local church. And so, naturally, we look towards the Sabbath, we look towards Sunday as that primary gathering, but we recognize that there's a whole lot of stuff that happens between Sundays. And so whether that's something that happens across the social or cultural landscape, whether that's something that's happening across the headlines of our news channels, we want to talk about those things, but we don't want to just be another voice. Andrew, you and I both know there are many, many voices and many opinions and strong opinions at that. But our hope isn't so much that people would walk out of this knowing a little bit more about what you and I think about the matters, but more what the Bible would speak about certain matters that are relevant to our today's culture.
Right. And I also think it's important. Some of you listening are going, oh, there's another church show, and all they're going to do is talk about Andrew's. All he's going to do is talk about Hope Resource Center, and all Jason's going to do is talk about Shoreline and push people to the church. But that is frankly not the goal of,
right,
of the show. I am the executive director at Hope, so there's going to be moments where I want to talk about that. You're the pastor at Shoreline. We're obviously going to talk about that. But the point is, let's have a conversation about biblical issues, cultural issues, from a standpoint of look, there are things that are happening in the world that we have to speak to as Christians, that pastors need to speak to, that partners of Shoreline need to speak to, that partners of other churches need to speak to. And so whether that be the Supreme Court decisions, whether that be patriotism, which we're going to talk about here in a little while, or frankly just school issues or mental health issues, or you know, how do we deal with the competitive nature of sports and what that's doing to our kids at our churches? But the goal here is not to just point you to a church. The goal here is to point you to Jesus and what the gospel does and how the gospel comes in, should come in, to everything that you're doing, not just on Sunday, but between the Sundays.
Yeah, there's a continued conversation among pastors and church planners about who's harder to reach, a community that is unchurched or a community that has been churched for many years, kind of the ongoing discussion between de-churched versus unchurched. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that comes along with some of the hardships of a churched community is that a lot of times you have to do some deconstruction. A lot of times people have been raised in some understanding of what they think the gospel is. They've been raised in some understanding as to what they think the church is. They've been raised in what some understanding of what faith looks like. And for us, even in our church here in Knoxville, Tennessee, we spend a lot of time deconstructing and then building people back up. And the truth is, when it comes to cultural and social issues, we have fallen prey to taking on the opinions and the mindsets of our culture as opposed to what the scripture says. And so we want to deconstruct some and then build back based on what the Bible teaches us.
Yeah, and as we walk through that, we should be looking at our families, looking at our relationships, looking, maybe I know that your kids are involved in a lot of sports, and you know, my kids are not there yet, but at least one of them is somewhat athletic,
right.
and so maybe that's coming. But
they got that from their mother.
As we look at that and think about what are we going to do with our families, how are we going to raise up our kids? Do we see our homes as disciple making factories? We talk about missions a lot. Are
right.
we being missionaries in our own home? Are we having those conversations with the folks down the hall, much less down the street? And so it is important, I think, for us to come together, for people to hear about, okay, well, you know, I grew up I've been Southern Baptist since before I came out of the womb.
Yep.
And I grew up in a place where I put the pastor on a pedestal, and I never saw him as just a dad. Yep. I never saw him as just a husband. I saw him as the pastor. And if I saw him in a weird context, like at the ball field, I used to be like, well, that pastors go to the ball field?
Yeah.
And so I think it's important that people see that regardless of what your career is, what the Lord has called you to do, we are all Christians, fallen, broken people in need of a Savior, and the gospel should be driving us in those relationships. So as you're meeting somebody, as your kid is playing ball with a family that may not be a Christian or maybe at a different church, what kind of conversations are you having with them? Do you see them as image bearers, or do you see them as a Democrat or as a Republican or as someone that you disagree with or somebody that's a different faith? How are we interacting with our neighbors?
Yeah, we you know, we have a tendency, if we're not careful, to fall into this mindset that says that certain people have greater access to the Father than that we do. And we have a tendency to elevate people. We are all about celebrity in our culture as a whole. And one of the things that we want to be really quick to do in our posture with this show is that we want to remind people that we are sinful, fallen people that don't have all the answers. In fact, every Sunday we stand up and say we don't come to elevate anyone on this platform or anyone in this room, but exclusively the person of Jesus. And that's going to be our same posture for this mm-hmm. show moving forward. We don't know all the answers, but we also want to do this in a way that says, hey, we can turn to the Word. We can have civil, good conversation about important discussion or about important issues. And we can also recognize that we can still be learners in this together.
Yeah, and I think the conversation aspect will be good. And so as we move forward, we'll have guests not just from the church, but we'll have folks from all over the country,
right.
all over the state that'll be coming in, or at least via phone call, to have these conversations with us. And so, because what we want to do is provide the conversation. Not necessarily provide you with all the answers, because you probably aren't going to find those here. Unless we talk about beards, I can provide a lot of answers.
You have
for the beards.
Answers.
I've been a lot of research, a lot of wasted time.
Too many YouTube videos.
A lot of wasted time on my beard. But and that's beard with a D at the end.
Yes.
So we're clear, not beer.
Correct.
Not the drink. But so as we walk through that, I do think it's important that we provide a place for that conversation.
Right.
And so that's the great thing about these shows, is an opportunity for people to kind of sit in on a conversation and hear from. And our goal, not necessarily to be experts, but to bring in experts
right.
to talk about the certain issues. And so what we're going to shift to here in a little bit is patriotism. We just came, the 4th of July was last week, and we certainly celebrate that. We are, you know, the Lord has blessed us to live in a great country. And I went to a parade. I don't know if you went to a parade, that, you know, we did those things, and I went to cookouts, and the particular cookout I went to was very interesting and fun. And so as we do those things, I feel like this past week, I read a lot of articles on Gospel Coalition and saw a lot of tweets and a lot of social media activity on the church and patriotism. And where is that line?
Mm-hmm.
Are we as the church to be proud of our country? Is there a line of going too far? Do we elevate the gospel at the same level of our patriotism? Do we elevate our political affiliation at the same level of our Christianity? And so as we walk through that, and we'll go there in a second, but I do think it's been on a lot of people's minds, at least in the circles that I run in and have seen, I know a lot of people have been wrestling with that. You have some pastors that go the other way. Well, we love this country. We have no issues with celebrating that fact and singing patriot hymns and those type things. And then you have some that have gone the other direction. We're not even going to mention what country we live in. We're not going to stand for any of that. We're going to you know, take that road. And I think those two extremes can be bad in and of themselves. So what I think we need to do is dissect where we need to be, or where we hope to be as the church when we talk about patriotism.
Yeah, you know, you think of the 4th of July, there's just all this pageantry that comes along with it. I love the pageantry. I love the hot dogs, the hamburgers, the parades, the fireworks. All of those things are things that are great, but truthfully, at times we celebrate the pageantry more mm-hmm. than we really celebrate the meaning of a day like the 4th of July or Memorial Day or anything of that sort. And so what we want to have a discussion here in the coming moments is to really get to the core of not just what we're celebrating, but what is the appropriate means and measure to honor our country, but also to recognize that there's a larger kingdom at hand.
Yeah, and that the kingdom isn't America. I think at times we, you know, this is coming from a guy that I was a political science major. I tell people all the time, the reason that the only friend I have from college is my wife is because all I wanted to do was talk about politics.
Right.
There's an old country song called Politics, Religion, and Her. And the whole point, Sammy Kershaw was making a great point. Let's talk about anything but politics, religion, and her, because his girl broke up with him. And so he's upset about that. And I was the person that said, let's talk about politics and religion, and you're not going to make a lot of friends when that is your focus all the time as a 19, 20-year-old. And other 19, 20-year-olds don't want to have that conversation. And so I elevated my patriotism. I elevated my party affiliation. I elevated my love of the country to a point of idolatry. And thankfully the Lord pulled me out of that. But it was certainly idolatry for me for a long time. And I still struggle at times with that. And so I cared more about the way you voted than where you would spend eternity. Well, that's a problem for a Christian if that has become your motive and your mission in having conversations with people. It no longer is about the gospel. It's about getting your vote and winning an issue and winning a topic, winning a discussion. And so recognizing that in our own lives, recognizing where we are, that's what we want to transition to in the next segment, is talking about how as Christians we can love our country and be proud of our country without being sinful in that pride,
right?
Without looking down at those that weren't born here, without looking down at those that are trying to get here. And as Christians, and especially the church, have we muddied the waters a little bit when it comes to gospel and patriotism? And that's where we're going to start when we come back. So it's Between Sundays with Andrew Wood, Jason Hayes, and right now we're joined by worship pastor, writer, author,
all
Chuck
of those things.
All of those things.
Chuck Hooten.
Husband, dad,
statesman.
That was definitely my next thing I was going to say.
Yeah, so Chuck is the worship pastor at Shoreline Church. As Andrew was quick to say, every one of our guests will not always be Shoreline staff members.
But next week, tune in for the missions pastor.
It will not be the case. But we did want to bring Chuck in today because, actually, Chuck, not only is a gifted worship leader, but he's also a gifted teacher. And in fact, he taught just this week with us at Shoreline. And one of the things that Chuck did over the last several months was that he released an article that was basically a blog post entitled Reflections of a King. And it exploded. I think Chuck took some time to put some things that were wrestling through his mind onto paper. And it just resonated with a whole lot of people, especially related to this discussion of patriotism. At the time when he wrote it, I guess it was a little bit further back.
Yeah.
We were in the middle of the political cycle.
Yeah.
We were in the middle of all of those things that were so pressing on our media headlines. And it just flat out exploded.
Yeah.
As he was sharing within a couple weeks It was shared or liked well over a million times. And so we felt like maybe there were some things for us to pull out of that conversation. And then certainly at the end of our time here, we'll point you to that article as well. So, Chuck, I hope you're doing really well. Thanks for joining us today on the inaugural Between Sundays
so
radio
honored.
Show. Yes. And man, give us just a snippet as to kind of your general direction in that article, and we'll begin to unpack it a bit.
Yeah, so when the election season was going through, it felt like every time I hopped on social media, everyone was just angry with one another. And everyone, even believers that I knew, were kind of picking sides and pointing fingers and just saying really nasty things about what other people thought about whatever candidate they were supporting. And I began to think about, you know, how did we end up with these two candidates kind of thing. And I was reading through the Old Testament at the time, and I just made the point in the blog post that most of the time, or all of the time, that a nation or a country's leadership is a reflection of the country itself. And so I made the point to talk about King Saul in the Old Testament and how Israel demanded a king of the prophet Samuel and said, "We want a king because we want to be like all the other nations." And the king they ended up with in Saul was a reflection of who they were as a people. He was brash. He was arrogant. He was prideful. And so he encapsulated who Israel was. And then I looked at our cycle and I saw our political cycle and I saw the candidates. And to me, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton at the time, we were talking about how terrible they were as candidates, but to me, they were reflections of a lot of who we are as a people in America. They gave us a mirror to look into to say, hey, this is who you are. And so more than anything else, the point of the article was, instead of pointing fingers at one another, maybe this political cycle could serve as fodder for us to hit our knees and say, God, fix our hearts. Start with me. Because right. I'm the one who's a reflection of what I'm seeing in the mirror. And so that was kind of the thing. Let's use the political discourse as a way not to point fingers at one another, but to look at our hearts and say, what is this a reflection of in my life, and how can I move the kingdom forward? How can I be changed? How can I mm-hmm. make a difference? How can I
right.
Be the gospel to people around me?
Yeah, and as we have this larger conversation about patriotism, you know, we don't want to think of patriotism exclusively as just the media cycle and political propaganda and all of the negative things.
Right.
Certainly, in today's discussion, we're going to talk a lot about what we have to be proud in and what we have to celebrate and how do we celebrate it appropriately. But I do think what you said is basically our response to mainstream media, our response to political propaganda, it ultimately reveals the state of our mind and the condition of our heart.
Yeah.
And so I think the same principle is true for us when we at times elevate country to a place that it should not be. It is often an indictment on where our heart is when we say we desperately need a rescuer. We desperately mm-hmm. need security. We desperately need purpose, any of these things that we can find in Christ that unfortunately we've taken good things, and Andrew, I'll let you speak to this, we've taken yeah. good things and we've made them the best things when they were never intended to be in that place.
Yeah, and so as we, when these things come up in our conversation, so when politics come up in our, I remember sitting back during the election, sitting with a pastor in town and saying, explaining to him that this political cycle that we were currently in back then and still are in is splitting families.
Yeah.
Like there are people that will not go have Thanksgiving dinner with family members because
right.
they voted for a person they do not agree with. That's insanity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so what we are now is we're so quick to run to a political corner instead of running to the gospel. And so, oh, you voted for so-and-so. Well, let me tell you why that person is the worst person this earth has ever seen.
Right.
And vice versa. And instead of going, let's talk about why you felt like you needed to vote for that person. Yeah. Why did you have a connection? Why did and during the election, what we saw was there was a large part of this country that felt trampled on and left out for a number of different reasons. But no one wants to sit down and have that conversation. They just want to call names and run to their political corner.
Yeah.
And so what we do is we run, and a king is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a king is a good thing, but we turn it into a God thing. Mm-hmm. And so the president, instead of a good thing that can kind of lead, turns into an actual authority figure and we turn it into a God thing. And we replace our gospel, we replace our king, Jesus, with a president that is fallen, with a party that is fallen. Both parties are broken and messed up and are fallen. And so I'm just going to let you know, if you put your hope in man, if you put your hope in the Oval Office, if you put your hope in the Supreme Court, if you put your hope in anything like that, you're going to be, you're not going to find satisfaction.
Don't you guys feel like that's what the issue is when people get so worked up about these things and are angry at one mm-hmm. another, it is a revealer of where your hope lies.
Sure,
and so to say, because I remember there's a couple times in the New Testament. One, Jesus in Matthew 22, they come to Jesus and they say, should we pay taxes to Caesar? And he dodges the question.
Right, that's what I was about to hit.
And he talks about the kingdom of God instead. And I also find it fascinating that Paul himself was a Roman citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was connected to Rome and lived under maybe one of the brutal regimes that's ever existed on the face of the earth in Nero. And not one time in any of his letters will you see him mention a political figure other than him witnessing in Acts to political figures. Paul will actually say, hey, listen, respect the government, but my hope and my mission is the gospel. Is everything is counted lost for Christ. And he was a Roman citizen, and he was never, you would never see him in his writings finding hope in the fact that he was a Roman citizen. It was always for Christ, always for Christ. So I would love to hear you guys
sure.
dialogue about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think the whole render to Caesar what Caesar's is often interpreted as an affirmation for these things, whereas I see it as Jesus saying, don't be distracted by this
yeah.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that you don't have interest or that it's not of value. It's not to say that it doesn't impact you to some degree. But it is not superior in your life. Do not be distracted to that which is most important. And that's the discussion we need to have today. You know,
sure.
we, again, I want to be really quick to say this. We are, as the three of us here, we are abundantly grateful for the country that we live in.
Yeah,
all three
no
of us
doubt.
Have traveled to many places. And seen many things. Chuck, in fact, take a minute and speak about coming back with Josie.
And two things. One, I came back. We adopted a little girl from China about a year and a half ago. And when I put my feet back on American soil after spending 2 weeks in China, I've never been more thankful and more grateful to live and be a part of.
Lee Greenwood was singing.
Lee Greenwood was in my ear, man. I was like almost bent down and kissed the dirt, you know, kind of thing. And also, my family just got back. We spent the 4th of July in Washington, D.C. I
right.
saw the fireworks go over the Washington. I never felt more patriotic in my life. So I am pro-America. But, man, I'm pro-Kingdom of God.
That's right. Come on.
It dwarfs.
We're
going to
talk about
pro-America.
That soon.
Yeah, we'll be back. So we're having a good conversation today on patriotism and really the life of the Christian between Sundays. And so today, joined as always, joined by Jason Hayes, the pastor of Shoreline Church. But today we're also joined by Chuck Hooten, who is a worship pastor. And so as we're talking, we ended the last segment talking about with an understanding that, look, if we put your hope in man, if you put your hope in politics or the Oval Office or the Supreme Court, regardless of what party is in office, if that is where your hope lies, that's a damning hope. That's not a gospel-loving, kingdom-focused hope. And so you were talking about you just got back from D.C. I mean, not that we have to put our credibility on the table,
sure.
but we love this country.
Let's face it, we didn't start with much credibility.
Yeah, so that's true. I mean, I have an American flag flying on my vehicle, and I'm just kidding. I don't. But I did back in the day in Cornersville where I grew
yeah.
up.
Yeah,
we'll
yeah.
talk about that one day. But as we look at that, you know, there are people that are going to be listening to this and saying, okay, I get it. I get that it's broken. But what does that mean for my neighbor? What does that mean for my neighbor that has a Hillary bumper sticker or a MAGA hat that they're
right.
wearing this week? What does that mean for my interactions? And so from that standpoint, Jason, what does that need to look like in our everyday relationships with our coworkers, with folks at the ball field, with folks at church even, because I think it's a bad assumption to just assume everybody at church leans one way or the other, because that's certainly not the case.
Right. You know, where we left off, we were just talking about our own patriotism, and we're talking about I think be amiss to not mention how grateful we are for those that have fought for our freedom, those that have served, those that continue to serve, and to also we would be amiss to not just honor Christ and have hearts of gratitude that He chose that we would be Americans. We did nothing. We have no responsibility for that. The three of us, you and I, the three of us, we did not choose to be born in the United States of America. Now, we've chosen to stay. We've chosen to base our lives and our families here and things of that sort. But what a gift that we have to steward. And I think that's where we begin to get into this discussion. It is one of stewardship. We have to be mindful that God has granted us a gift as American citizens. But that stewardship also comes with the responsibility that we talk about a greater kingdom. And the kingdom of God is that which we want to celebrate, and it's that which we want to put our hopes and our dreams and our passions behind, and it's that we want to point people towards. And my fear is that if we're not careful, what we've done is we've become so isolated in our political opinions, and we've become so poignant in what we're deeming as patriotism. There was a day, I think, where patriotism was constructed and construed by our love for country, and now it seems that patriotism is paralleled and shouldered right up on me telling you every stance, opinion, and perspective that I have, and demanding that you line up with those things.
And if you don't line up, you hate the country.
You are not patriotic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so our hope is that in this discussion, we can begin to recalibrate a bit. Chuck, tell us how we begin to do that.
Yeah, I think the danger for us in our modern age of social media and 24-hour news cycle is everything that's happening that day seems to be the most momentous and urgent thing that's ever happened on the face of the earth.
And it's never happened before.
It's never happened before. And I have to have an opinion about it, and I have to let you know my opinion about it. And what we lose in all of that is in our conversations online and our conversations with friends and family. Andrew, you were talking about people not having dinner with one another.
Yeah, my family.
Is that when I sit across the table for someone, or I send someone a tweet or an email, am I considering that might be the last opportunity that I ever have again to say something to them? And so then I have to ask the question, what is the most momentous and urgent thing that really is happening in their life and mine? And that's eternity.
Yep.
That's the kingdom of God. And if I make someone angry because of how I'm choosing to vote, and I lose the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, that is a tragedy. Because I have traded my ability to share the kingdom with them on the premise that what's more important for me to share with them is how I'm going to vote in the next cycle, or what I think about who should be the next this or who should be the next that. And that's why I don't think you see Jesus or Paul or anyone in the New Testament doing it. They were not willing to trade the credibility of the gospel, or let me say it this way, their ability to share Christ with someone. They were not willing to trade that for any other topic on the face of the earth. So Nero is coming down on Christians, and Paul is trading in his right to speak on that.
And he had a right.
He had a right to speak on that.
And he had a lot to say, and had a lot of material in his bag.
A lot invested in it.
Correct, right.
But what you're going to see him say is, hey, first of all, you need to pray for this guy. And second of all, you need to spend your entire life for the kingdom of God. And so I think if believers could rally around that to say, I'm so thankful, Jason hit the nail on the head, I'm so thankful that I live in America. I'm so thankful that I get to raise my family in America. But what I'm more grateful is that my kids up till now, and I'm praying for Josie, are all part of the kingdom of God. And what I want them to see is their mission is not necessarily to make America great again, even though I would love for that to happen. But their mission is to say, what if every person you bumped into could be part of the kingdom of God, and we could spend eternity? Because in eternity, there's not going to be any flags waving.
Right.
But in eternity, it talks about at the end of Revelation how every tongue, tribe, nation, language will be gathered in front of the throne of Christ. And together, shoulder to shoulder, we're going to be elevating Christ together. So let's get together for that purpose, because that's something that we can all agree on and get behind and give our lives for that's eternal.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, you have a background. For those of that have not known Andrew, not only is he a gift to our community, but he's been active in a lot of this discussion for a really long time. And I would ask you, you know, what is the balance of, all right, I do want to speak about certain things. I do want to have an opinion about these things. I want my votes to matter, and I want to be a good encouragement to candidates that are healthy for our country. You know, what does that look like? How do we begin to find the balance?
Yeah, I think it's our identity first as believers should be that of, with Jesus.
Yeah.
Not you shouldn't wake up in the morning, okay, I'm a Republican. That's it. Thank you, God, for the GOP, or thank you, God, for the DNC. That shouldn't be your motivation every morning when you wake up and every night when you go to bed. But I speak about and write about all the time about being engaged in the process. Mm-hmm. And I have good relationships with politicians and conversations with them about legislation that I believe is moving the ball in the right direction when it comes to gospel, when it comes to the most vulnerable in our society.
Yeah.
And so for us as Christians, we don't not be involved in that. We certainly should be involved in the political side of things. But the political side of things is not the driving factor in our lives. The kingdom is. So what that means is I'm willing to sit down with someone that disagrees with me on everything because they have a soul and they bear the image of my Creator.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I'm willing to sit down with them and say, let's talk. There's got to be common ground. There's got to be something we agree on.
Right.
Let's find that place and let's start there. Because the reality is when everybody's talking about there's a civil war coming and all of these things, first off, they tend to forget we had an actual civil war.
Right.
And so when people are talking about when are we going to reach rock bottom, like we reached it.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of people died in our country because they were fighting each other.
Right. Yeah.
And so
what exactly when we're making America great again? what period of our history are we exactly speaking
about?
And
that depends on the color of your skin.
Correct.
And so for me it's being willing to sit down with people and say we disagree, but there's far more things that we can talk about and discuss. And know that even if you still disagree after having that conversation, you don't have to walk away angry.
Yeah.
You don't have to say, well, they're not allowed in my house. I was at the parade the other day, and a politician, all he was doing was shaking people's hands. That's
right.
It. He wasn't handing anything out. I don't even think he was asking for a vote. He was just saying, my name is so-and-so. Enjoy your day. Happy 4th.
Right.
And I watched a man holding his child not shake that politician's hand. Why? Because the tribal instinct inside of him said, you're not one of me.
Right.
I'm not going to shake your hand. And so you think about the examples that are being set there. Mm. You think about homes that are families, that cousins that aren't talking anymore because somebody voted for the wrong person, quote unquote.
Right.
And for me, it's being willing to sit down with people that are different and go, we disagree, but that's okay. I still love you. I still care about you. Your soul matters to me more than that vote does.
Right. And I think it continues to go back to this, you know, this thing that we've said so far is that patriotism in this discussion is all of these conversations we're happening. I think we could all agree that the large majority of those that are listening here are, you know, they're going to wave their flags. They're going to stand for the pledge.
Sure,
they're going to do those type things.
Yeah.
But the bigger discussion is, are we trying to convince people more about our candidate or about Jesus? Are we a Jesus apologist or are we a political apologist?
Right. And frankly, if we are talking to them about Jesus and the gospel, folks, the rest of the stuff's going to take care of itself.
That's exactly.
Let's get the gospel right first and foremost. And we'll talk more when we come back. So, Jason, as we close out the show today, we've been talking about a topic that I think a lot of people want to, or at least thinking about. It's been in the news, and a lot of people's patriotism has been called into question. That's certainly not what we wanted to do today. What we wanted to do is point people to the gospel and to Jesus, and let that be our driving force. Regardless of what we do. So that should be your driving force at your work. at your church, on the ball field, in the voting booth. The gospel right. should be driving you to love your neighbor, to care for the vulnerable, and all of those things. And so we weren't able, because we just have an hour to cover everything about that. But hopefully that was that gave a glimpse to folks, at least some to conversation starters that they can have with neighbors and family members. So as we close out, tell people where they can learn more about Shoreline Church and where they can read the blog that we mentioned that Chuck talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. Even before I jump into that, I've got 30 more minutes. No, I'm just joking. I'm not going to do that. I think I'm reminded of all the times I meet with couples for premarital counseling, and I basically tell them I can give you great books on finances. I can give you great books on communication. I can give you great books on any number of important topics, but the best thing that you can do is to pursue Jesus. And ultimately, a lot of that stuff resolves itself. And I think we could come here every week and try to give you a bunch of prescriptive answers. Here's five easy things to do. Five great ways to be a Christian patriot. I mean, that's not what we're trying to do. We all know things like civility and things like patience and things like being slow to speak are helpful things. But we need not try to just add those to our character when we're in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
These are things we have to pursue in Christ day in and day out. And then I think our navigation of issues like politics and patriotism become a lot easier to us. As far as the article, I definitely want to point you guys towards our blog, shorelineknox.com/blog. You'll be able to see the article. Again, it's entitled Reflection of a King. We actually took it off of... You could actually still find it on Chuck's social media profiles, but it's there as well as also now on our Shoreline website. As far as me, be sure to check us out, shorelineknox.com. You can learn a little bit more about me and certainly follow me on social media.
Yeah, and as you do that and get engaged in the process, just know that anybody that you listen to on any of these shows, any podcast, I'm a avid podcast listener. Right. I listen to podcasts from all kinds of different people. And the reason is because I want to see how different people think. I want to see how non-Christians think. I want to see how Christians think. And that's an important thing for us to do between Sundays. It is for us to be engaged in our community. And so if I were to go into your work and say, hey, what, tell me something about so-and-so. What is that first thing going to be? Are they going to lead with your party affiliation? Are they going to lead with maybe the team that you root for out of all the teams? Or are they going to lead with, man, he's just a really great husband, or she's an amazing mom, or I don't know a lot about them, but they love Jesus. What are they leading with? And that would tell me a lot about what you lead with in right. in your own life. Or would they say, no one gossips like that person. They have all the news. They know about everybody. And so simply between Sundays, I think our focus should be getting closer to Jesus every single day. And then when we come together on Sunday, whether that be at Shoreline or any other church, it's to celebrate and worship with fellow believers in what God is doing in our life. So if you want to learn more about what's going on at Shoreline, you can at the website. Again, I'm at Hope Resource Center, investinghope.com. You can learn more about Hope there and what we are doing in this community and have been doing for the last 20-plus years. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week to talk more on Between Sundays.